American composer Leroy Anderson was born 100 years ago today. His unique music remains timeless. There will be Anderson tribute concerts this year from Ecuador to Sweden, along with a 5-CD collection of his works. Some critics have placed him in the same sphere with George Gershwin and Aaron Copland. Anderson's name isn't as well known as his music, but as Pat Dowell explains, it doesn't really matter.
If the name doesn't ring a bell, the music certainly will. Sleigh Ride is a Christmas fixture, as commonplace as a snowflake pasted on a window. Anderson wrote The Syncopated Clock while he was a military intelligence officer. CBS TV adapted it in the 1950s as the theme for its original late show. And The Typewriter is a pop's concert staple. The 1950 composition features the manual typewriter on stage with the orchestra. In 1970, Anderson demonstrated in his home studio for Connecticut television station WTIC how he made the machine sounds a part of the music.
And I don't have a typewriter. I have a bell here. The reason we have a bell, it would be impossible to set the carriage of the typewriter, so you want to tick a 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 bing, and have the bell come right there. We have two drummers, by the way. A lot of people think we use stenographers, but they can't do it because they can't make their fingers move fast enough. So we have drummers because they can get wrist action. So they play tick a 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 bing, tick a 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 bing, and this comes back on the beat.
Leonard Slatkin, conductor on the new Anderson CDs, has played a few typewriters himself on the concert stage, and he says it's hard.
It is. You have to tamp down all the middle keys so that only the two outside ones work, and you have to start with your right hand in order to be able to hit the carriage return where Anderson specifies.
The composer's music has been a favorite of Slatkin's for years. The departing music director of the National Symphony Orchestra is known for presenting concerts both of challenging contemporary music and popular American composers. He points out that Anderson's music has always been popular.
The nature of the Pops concert has changed so dramatically over the last 25 or 30 years that we forget there were masters of the art of writing the short miniature specifically for this kind of occasion.
Jazz Pizzicato, a minute and a half of energetic plucking, was Anderson's first composition, and it was debuted by Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops in 1938. Leroy Anderson spent most of his life in the Boston area. He grew up in a family of Swedish immigrants who played music together. He said he got his education from grade school to graduate school on one street, Broadway, in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
The Harvard Yard was on one side, and the graduate school is on the other side, by the law school. I went for the most part to the music building, to Payne Hall. If I'd walked a few steps longer, farther down, I've often thought I might have been a lawyer.
Anderson did almost decide against a career in music. He was set to take a job as a language instructor. He was fluent in five, including Icelandic and Old Norse. But his arrangements as director of the Harvard Band caught the ear of Arthur Fiedler, who encouraged him to compose. Anderson created his music at home, says his widow Eleanor, in his head.
He said that he didn't like to use the piano at the beginning because your fingers tended to fall into familiar patterns. And it was only after the basic elements of the piece were in place in his head that he would go to the piano and use that.
Anderson was so much in his head that his widow and his son, Rolf, both describe him pacing through the house after dinner, unaware of everything around him.
I remember once I was reading something interesting in a magazine or a book, and I thought it would interest him. And as he walked through the living room, I said, "Dad, you'll never believe what it says here in this book. It says," and then I looked up, and he had left the room. He really had never heard me at all, didn't hear me speaking to him. He just walked right on through, and that made it very clear to me that there was no point in even trying to talk to him at this time of the day. He was busy thinking of music.
And he was busy. Leroy Anderson composed more than 200 pieces, including a concerto and a Broadway musical, Goldilocks. And in 1952, Billboard named Anderson's instrumental, Blue Tango, the year's top-selling single. It was at once a parody of Latin torch songs and a passionate example of one. That ability to transform and preserve classic structures has endeared Leroy Anderson to such musicians as Leonard Slatkin.
You know, I've always thought of this music as being as sophisticated as any of the so-called big names that we do. It just that he did it in miniature. So is it any different for a short Leroy Anderson piece that parodies or tries to pay homage to a dance form like the saraband? Is that any different, really, than Mozart, who would poke fun at the same form, or Brahms, or Schubert, or Mahler? I don't think so.
Saraband is Slatkin's favorite.
Because it embodies what he tried to do, and that was to create a work that took some structure from the past but made it relevant for the audience listening at the time. I mean, it starts off as it could be a little bit of Bach, it could be something French, then there's a slight jazz rhythm that goes on near the end. So he's playing about with it. He's really having a good time with it.
And Leroy Anderson did it all in less than 3.5 minutes, which certainly plays to the attention span of today's busy consumer. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.
And this is Leroy Anderson's Sandpaper Ballet. You can hear Leonard Slatkin conduct of some of Anderson's best-loved pieces at the music section of our website. That's npr.org.